Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for all your prayers. This evening, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. We'll read a couple verses, then we'll pray. Nehemiah chapter 2. We'll start in verse 17. Verse 17, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then said I, that's Nehemiah, unto them, unto the rulers, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for their good work. This good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will rise and build, but ye have no portion, no right, no more memorial in Jerusalem. Let us pray. Dear Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, Father, you gave me these words, Lord. I don't know why, Lord, but Father, I ask you that you work on our hearts tonight, Lord. Father, give me the wisdom that I need, Lord. Give me the words to say, Lord. Give me the power. Fill me with your boldness, Lord. Father, that I will only say what you've given me, nothing more, nothing less, Lord. Father, I don't desire for these to be my words, but to be your words, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, you just be with our pastor tonight and Mrs. Burke and the rest of the seniors, Lord, as they're in Florida right now. Keep them safe, Lord. Protect them. Help their services on Sunday that they'll go well, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. Please bless this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to be looking at almost titled Building Our Walls. Building Our Walls. A backstory of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah, I preached on this actually a while back. Nehemiah chapter 1, we see him, he's in the Shushan, the palace, and we see that certain brethren came to him and he asked them of the plight of Israel. They were in Babylon, in captivity for close to 70 years, as we will see, close to 70 years, and he asked his brethren, how are they doing? And he told, and the brethren told him that they're not doing good. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, they are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. And then we see three actions in verse 4. We see the sorrow that Nehemiah had for his people, and that shows the heart of a man for the people. We see that three actions. He sat down, he wept and mourned. Sat down is a great action because the hearing about this hit him so hard that he had to sit down. He couldn't stand. That's a totally different sermon. But then we see his prayer. We see his heart for the people. And then verse chapter 2, we see that he didn't just want to stay. I was teaching this to the kids in Bible class. I've been teaching while pastor's been gone. And he did not want to stay. He could have been comfortable. He was comfortable there. He was the cupbearer. And you know, as if you don't know, the cupbearer was high in the eyes of the king. Because if someone poisoned the cup, many people try to assassinate kings. And that's one way they could do it. Put poison in the drink. And he would when they would give it to him, then he would die. But the cupbearer, he had to taste that, make sure it was good. And if he died, then, of course, it's poisonous. If he didn't, lucky for the king. But we see that he was comfortable. He was high in the eyes of Artaxerxes. I think it was Artaxerxes, right? Artaxerxes, the king of, at that time. And you can tell by how he speaks to Nehemiah, how he talks to him. And it says even here, here it shows the heart of the king to Nehemiah. But Nehemiah didn't want to stay. He saw the plight of his people, and he wanted to do something about it. So he asked the king with fear, because to go in front of the king that was king over that amount of domain over Babylon and all that, there was a lot just to go before him. And he asked him, King, will you allow me to go and rebuild Jerusalem? And of course, he let him go. But then this is where we read from 17. He went around Jerusalem from verses 11 to 16. He went around Jerusalem and looked at everything, saw, and kind of getting almost like a game plan in his mind. Then we read verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. That seems like a tall order. You'd think, I looked it up, and the walls of Jerusalem at that time would have been about 2.5 miles long. There was an average height would be about 12 feet high. An average thickness was about 8 to 8.5 feet thick. That's not a small wall. And we read farther on, we can find places where it says they've built it in 52 days. Not even 2 months. How is that possible? Because the Lord was with them. And we'll read on about them building the wall. But what we see here, he says, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. You can read that in verses 8 through 10. Where he says, and they said, they didn't say, oh, no, we can't do that. That would have been the thought for a lot of people. We can't do that. We can't build up the walls. It's destroyed for many years. It's been burnt. How can we build this back up? That's not what they said. They said, let us arise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I almost see them rolling up their sleeves saying, I'm ready to go. Let's build this. Of course, it took a lot of preparation. And you can't just, and there's these stones that they were building. We'll read farther, and we'll be reading in Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going through 2 through 4, kind of overviewing. But we see in 4 that it would have been heavy to lift up those stones. I saw somewhere, I don't remember where, that someone said that these stones could have weighed up to 50 tons. That is heavy. And they didn't have the technology we have nowadays, tractors, all these things that can lift up that, maybe. They had people. They had hardworking men, not just men, but families. So here we see they're saying, let us build this. And they strengthened their hands for this good work. But the enemies, these kings, Sabalat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they weren't happy. They weren't happy. They probably have been ruling over them. They weren't happy. They what it says, they heard it, verse 19, they laughed us to scorn, despised us, and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? I also, just going through Nehemiah with the kids in Bible, and just talked about this and yesterday. As Christians, we're going to have people laughing at us because we go to church. We're going to have people scorning us, saying, your standards are too much. We're going to have people laughing at us, saying anything. Saying, why you do that? Why do you do that? We do it for God. But they laughed at us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? I like the answer that Nehemiah gave. He said, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we as servants will rise and build, but ye have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. A real man of God saying, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. He will give us strength. He will help us build this up. That's where we read in Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 3, I'm not going to go through it all. There's so many names, and tell you the truth, I don't know how to pronounce all the names. It's going to take forever to read it all. I could in Russian, not in English. But you read here, I'll read verse 1. Actually, no, I won't. You read it home by yourself. But here we see, we see here the men, actually it's the families, it's groups of people of Jerusalem, each building their part of the wall. Right. I can see, I'm so thankful for godly men in leadership. I'm thankful for Nehemiah and how his example, where he wept for the people and he went. I'm thankful for someone who came here to this area and started this church. I'm thankful for our pastor who stands right now in service here at this pulpit. He's our pastor, and tell you the truth, he's one of the best pastors I could ever ask for. His wisdom that he has from God, his love for not just people but for kids. There's so many things I could say about him. Yet, to think building a 2.5 mile wall would have taken a lot. Taught a lot of leadership. Because people that, like a mass of people, I can just see them rushing, let's put this. No. It takes planning to build such a big wall. And we see here, you read chapter 3, how each, you read the names, each took their part of the wall and built. Built it to the standard that needed to be. Look at our lives. Each one of us has our part of wall to build. In the local church that we have, in our church, each one of us has a wall to build. And we all have to build our wall together. It's building our lives for God, building our lives to the standard. And as people, we could never be perfect. We're still building. There's always something to build. But here we read that each one of them built their wall to the standard that needed to be. We don't see someone building their wall like this, someone building, I don't want to do it like that. I don't agree with that. Let me build it my own way. And this person say, I'm going to build like we're supposed to. That person that didn't build, that's going to be a weak spot. I taught this in Shore of Hope, where we're serving right now. I think we're live streaming, so I'm not going to say where. I taught there in Shore of Hope about this because it was a struggle. We were there for 4 years, and we hadn't seen a lot of growth. The Lord gave me this message, building our wall. And I had a whiteboard, and I just took and drew out a wall. In one section of the wall, I just scribbled a whole bunch of lines. Just made blocks every which way. And there was holes. There was this part wasn't linked with the other. If we don't build our lives, if we don't build our wall around Jerusalem, if we don't build our part of the wall, to the standard that's supposed to be, to the other person, how it's supposed to be, then that part is going to be the weak point. And then the enemies that here would have, that's their place, that's a place they're going for. So we see here, building our wall. For it takes all of us working together. If in a church, or in the local church, if most of us are building our lives according to the Bible, our guidelines, our blueprints, is right here. This is our standard. When I say we're building the wall to the standard, I'm talking about this. Because we could have our own standards, yet this shows us how to build our life. This shows us how to live properly. So we have to have, first of all, to build a wall, you have to have a good foundation. That's Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Second of all, you have to have good blueprints showing how to build. That's this. That's the word of God that he gave each one of us to build, to use. So our standard is here. But if someone decides, it could be me, it could be anybody, you can't say, I wouldn't do that, because there might come a time where we lose our standards. We decide, we grow weak. We're like, I don't want to come to church. I don't want to do this. I don't want to build it like that. I want to do it my own way. That's how the wall becomes weak, is if we start building it our own way, and it becomes, there comes holes, that becomes a weak point. Here we read, that they built their own part of the wall. And there's interesting verse 5. It's something that's put in there. And it's interesting. Verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. And next unto them, the Tekoites, or something like that, are repaired, but their nobles put not their neck to the work of their Lord. I don't know why. Maybe they thought too high of themselves, like, I'm not going to work. It's nobles. That means the people that were high up. Decided, I'm not going to work. It's just something interesting that's put in there that I'm like, why? Why? So, we read verse chapter 3, that they built their walls. Chapter 4, we kind of finishing in this chapter, but that doesn't mean it's done. We read how again the enemies heard that verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Nope. Hear, O our God, here's Nehemiah saying, hear, O our God, for we are despised, turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I have that underlined, have a mind to work. They desired to build. They desired to finally, after being so many years in captivity, to have their city, to build it back up, build the walls up. They set their heart, they set their mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Skip down to 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows, and looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that and God had brought their counsel to naught, that returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. When the enemy started to conspire against them, Nehemiah got word of it, and he set everybody with their weapons to protect. And I like how it's an example here where God is mentioned multiple times. Just nowadays, when something comes good, people, we tend to not praise God, but God, saying, he did that. Here we see, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, they returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And then they did something. They were prepared. We'll read here, verse 16. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. We read here that the Israelites, Nehemiah said, you're going to use one hand to build, one hand to have your weapon. We just went through how heavy these stones would have been. And they are building with one hand, having a weapon by them. They are prepared for their enemy. So shall we should be ready to fight our enemy. Our enemy is not the president. Our enemy is not fellow countrymen. Our enemy is not other countries. As it says in Ephesians 6, I'll quickly read that. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Verse 11, I'll start. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They were ready. They were prepared. They had their weapon. You know what our weapon is? The word of God. As you will read farther in Ephesians 6, our sword is our weapon. The sword, which is the word of God, is our weapon to fight the devil, his demons, fight the darkness. Tell a story. In the last week, my wife and I were on our honeymoon. We went to a small town in Georgia called Milledgeville. I would not recommend going there unless passing through, unless God shows something different. At the end of it, we found out that there was a witch's cove in there, that it was known for its witchery. It was known for witchcraft. It was known for the devil really fighting. Well, I didn't know that when we got this house. And we get there Monday afternoon, I think, right? Monday afternoon after a bit of shopping, we get there. That evening, it's late at night, and we're both just our spirit's unsettled. We're like, I don't know why, but we don't feel alone. So I've learned from my Pastor Burke and my dad, that just from a bit of experience, that just take the Lord's word and read. Read and pray that the Lord would just cleanse the place and rebuke the devil, because it says that we can do that through Jesus Christ's name. Not through anything else, because we don't have power over the devil. The devil's a lot more powerful than I think we give credit to, that we understand. It doesn't mean that, but God is more powerful. Without a doubt, there's no question to that. So Monday night, we just felt not right. So we took God's word and we just read from it, from Psalms, and just prayed. We're fine through the day. Wednesday, there was at the house we're situated right on Lake Sinclair. There's a dock there. It was beautiful during the day. Well, Bree and I, we were sitting in the living room and we were just talking about the night before. No, the Wednesday. And we felt there was an abandoned house, like, right beside us. And it's hard to explain to people that don't believe that there's demons, that don't believe that devil fights and that there's witchcraft, and that it will, that you can, through the Spirit of the Lord, that he does show this. But Wednesday night, we woke up in the middle of the night, just I was paralyzed almost with fear. And we did not feel alone. There was outside the front door, there was a sensor a motion sensor light that went off. Don't know what it was. But we just did not feel alone in the house. And there was some fear. We took, again, the Lord's word, which is our sword, which defeats the devil. And we just went around praying and rebuking the devil through Jesus Christ's name. Just reading a lot from God's word and praying. And after a while, we felt peace. Went back to bed. Thursday night, it hit harder. It was like, literally, I haven't felt like that in a long time. Fear. And the Lord gets rid of that fear, but still, it was scary. And we just walk around the room, each corner of the house, praying at each corner of the house. And it's hard to explain. And some people might think it's like, it's crazy, you've gone crazy, but then you hear something tapping on the window. Everywhere around the house. You look out the window, nothing there. You hear it tapping on the window again. We're praying, going around the house. We come to one corner, and right underneath us, there's a porch with kayaks. And I'm praying. We're both praying, reading from God's word. And we hear this, like a lot of noise from underneath the porch. Just start praying harder, and it gets louder and louder and louder. And then it stops. We go around the house. We still hear noises outside tapping on the window. It's not just our imagination thinking that up. The devil really is out there. He's as a roaring lion. As it says in... wait a second. Find this real quick. It's saying that he's as a roaring lion seeketh to devour. I tell you the truth, I would not want to go face to face with a lion out in the wild. But the devil is out there. Our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is not present, is not other countries. Our enemy is Satan and his demons. And as Nehemiah, the people, they held their sword by their side, always ready for when the Lord, when their enemies would fight. All the time when the Lord, any time that they would come, they were ready. As we build our wall, we should have this by our side. We should always be in the Word of God. Because only through it can we grow. Only through it do we have power, or do we have victory over the devil. Through Jesus Christ's name, through God, and He gives us victory. But as we build the wall, as we build our wall, the devil will do all he can to hinder the building. He will do all he can for us to stop building, for us to leave the church, to get on the wrong side, to start serving the Lord. He will do everything he can. But, as it says in Ephesians, how can we fight? Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God. As you read here in Nehemiah, how they started building the wall, they each had to build their own part of the wall. How there came to a point where they had to build with one hand and be ready for war in the next. In this other hand, they had a weapon. It should be like that with us. As we build in this life, as we start growing in the Lord, we should be ready for the fight. Because that time on the honeymoon, it was good, but then I think the Lord kind of used that for myself and Bree to kind of grow in each other. Because tell you the truth, that would have taken years for people to grow in like that. And the Lord, I think, helped us do that in like 3 days. Which it was scary. I wouldn't want to go through that again. But we should be ready. We should be ready. And as we build the wall, always have this. Always be in the Word. And don't forget that when we grow comfortable, sometimes we grow comfortable in the church, sometimes we grow comfortable. It's good too. But sometimes we grow too comfortable that we forget there is a lion out there. that there is the devil's out there doing all he can to disrupt our lives, disrupt the building of our wall, of the wall. Let us not forget that he is still out there, but let us not also forget not to just cower in fear. Because I've heard stories where people have grown away from the Lord because they saw things. People thought they're crazy, but they actually saw things. They saw demons. My sister, adopted sister. I won't do a lot of story because that's totally different. I don't want to get into that on that. But she, after being saved, she was a Muslim. After getting saved, she heard voices saying, trying to say for her to kill herself. After being saved, and she was saved. You can't, a saved person cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. But the Lord gave her victory over that. And right now, she's in the Muslim country, still serving the Lord. No Christians around, no church even close to around her. The church that was close to her, some sort of church, Christian church, had to leave. But she's still serving the Lord there, with nobody there but herself. So let us not forget, while we're building our wall, as we read here, as we build for Christ, not to forget that the devil is still out there, and he will do all he can to stop that. Let us pray.